You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Well, the numbers are out, and according to the latest data from Investors Business Daily and Technometrica Market Intelligence, you are slightly more pessimistic about the future of our economy in the short term than you were just a month ago. Both numbers from February and January are quite pessimistic, but the overall number, just out of the oven, 44.6. Anything below 50 is considered pessimistic. With me now to explain why and where things might be trending, Terry Jones, Associate Editor at Investors Business Daily. And Terry, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, thank you for having me, Greg.
Not a lot of encouraging news here. The overall numbers are down. It's less than a point, so not much seems to have changed. But in looking at the three components that make up the overall number, folks are definitely down about their own personal financial outlook, which is usually the most optimistic. How concerned should we be about that?
I think we should be real concerned about that one. That, in my opinion, is the most important one because I think it really is a measure of how confident people are about, you know, the reality of their own economic lives. And if they see things going south for themselves, it means it's pretty bad. But you have to look at, put it in context. It remains over 50, and that is still, you know, barely positive. So I guess if I was going to take an optimistic note away from it, that would be it.
Is there any particular reason, or is it just the mounting job losses and other economic data that we're seeing that's triggering that slide?
I think it's the job loss data have hit pretty hard, and our poll was being conducted in the same week that a lot of the bad job news was coming out. So I think people are feeling quite nervous about their own position in this economy right now, and some people are worried about losing jobs or their businesses closing, and it's a very, very negative psychological mindset for consumers right now, and we're seeing that in a lot of the data that come out. It really seems like we hit an air pocket here about back in September, and things have gone pretty much south ever since.
But Terry, how much is the pessimism right now surrounding the economy kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy? In other words, how much does the pessimism actually impact the rate at which the economy possibly comes back?
I think it's a huge element in all of this. There is no question there are problems with our financial system. The housing market is weak, and there are a lot of issues that we have to get resolved. But the fact of the matter is, people can talk themselves into feeling so bad about the economy that all the prognostications become something of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, if you're very nervous and very afraid, you stop spending money, you start cocooning more, staying home. And saving is not a bad thing. I mean, it's a good thing to save money, but if you are fearful that you're no longer participating normally in the economy, it is going to have an impact. And when you take that from, you know, you extrapolate that one from an individual to millions of Americans, it suddenly becomes an economic downturn. And people need to feel a little bit more confident, I think, in order to get this thing turned around.
And as you look at these numbers, Terry, the overall number, again, 44.6, personal financial just north of 50, a six-month outlook, 42.6, and the one thing that's up is actually the confidence in federal economic policies, which is still the lowest number of the three. But in looking at the demographics, it seems that a lot of this opinion seems to still be based on politics. We saw that a few months ago leading up to the election, but those who are most excited about the economy, blacks and Hispanics, Democrats, young people, whereas those who don't like it so much, Republicans, whites, and those who make more than $75,000.
Yeah, we're really seeing that the political ideological split in our surveys, and we saw that last year with the Republicans and the oldsters a little more positive on the economy than the Democrats and the younger people and minorities, and now the reverse, of course, is true. I think that's going to be an issue that's going to persist, especially with a completely Democratic Congress and a Democrat in the presidency. I think there will be a great opportunity for political polarization, especially in at a time when things are not going really well.
Terry, obviously there's some other major economic news of the day. The Senate passing its version of the economic stimulus plan, and the Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner outlining how he thinks the rest of the bailout money for Wall Street, also known as TARP, ought to be spent. Let's start with the latter. Folks don't seem to be all that confident about the Wall Street bailout, haven't really since the get-go. How confident should they be in what they heard from Mr. Geithner today?
Well, the thing is, it's hard to gauge. You know, the expectations had been built up that this was going to be a plan and it was going to be a comprehensive plan and one that would get the banks going again. But we saw even by Geithner's own admission, he said we're not going to put out details until we get it right. And, you know, I laud him for that and for having the humility to admit that that they'll make mistakes and things. But I guess the markets were hoping for something a little bit more. And some of the things that, you know, were missing from the plan, I think, were troubling. For instance, there had been some talk about creating a so-called bad bank, which is really an aggregator bank that would buy up bad bank assets and basically remove them from the economy so that the banks could basically have a do-over. We did this back with the Resolution Trust Corporation, and though it was a government-run operation, it worked. So I think a lot of bankers were hoping something along those lines would be brought into play, but it wasn't, and it wasn't quite clear what they were going to do. It was vague talk about public-private partnerships. That's fine and well and good, but the mechanics of it were sort of missing. And another thing is a lot of people were hoping there would be some relief from the mark-to-market rules, which have really created a lot of damage on. Especially on banks' balance sheets, but even on other companies' balance sheets, where they have to mark all of their assets to where the market values them right now, even if the assets are still being paid off by the people who borrowed.
Terry, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. As always, we greatly appreciate your time with us.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Terry Jones is Associate Editor at Investors Business Daily. For more on the survey, you can find it online at investors.com. When we come back on Dateline Washington, we'll switch gears and talk about the impact of the Alex Rodriguez steroid confession on the game of baseball. Stay tuned.